Southeast Oregon is interesting country, Alkali Lake country. Seems like everything is bigger out there, and the mud puddles, they're no exception. You can drown in an Eastern Oregon mud puddle. Take Goose Lake, for instance. But here, let me tell you a story about Goose Lake from the days of the Oregon Trail that'll give you an idea what I'm talking about. First, though, let me introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John, and I write a weekly newspaper column that runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now, and it's called Offbeat Oregon History. Right now, what you're listening to is an archive story that first ran in the newspapers on April 12th, 2009. I'm going to read it to you now. And if you'd like some more information about this little podcast or about the column, stay tuned. The emigrants coming west on the Applegate Trail to Oregon in the 1870s were puzzled. The trail was, of course, a seemingly unending set of wagon wheel ruts stretching from the jumping-off points in the Midwest over deserts and mountains and all sorts of obstacles that seemed insurmountable but weren't. But this one was different. This one really was impossible. Had the wagons before them really plunged directly into the enormous lake that lay before them? The ruts led directly into the water, and there was no sign of them having come out again, at least not on this side of the lake. It was miles across. The other side of the lake lay almost invisible on the horizon, much, much too far to float a caulked wagon. And yes, it was deep, far too deep to ford. There was nothing for it but a trip around the lake, since the end of the trail lay on the other side. And so around they went, making a detour of something like 100 miles. On the other side, they found the wagon ruts again. They emerged from the water and headed on westward through the Cascades, like nothing had happened. Once arrived at the west coast, none of the previous emigrants knew anything about any lake there. It remained a mystery until several years later, when a drought struck and the lake dried up again. Today the lake is back. Now known as Goose Lake, it's an arrowhead-shaped patch of water straddling the Oregon-California line just south of Lakeview, at an elevation of 4,700 feet. There's a campground and a park there at Goose Lake State Recreation Area, which is on the east side of the lake, with hot showers, something those puzzled immigrants 140 years ago likely would have enjoyed. But don't bother trying to reserve a campsite on the internet. The place is so far from everything, nearly 400 miles from Portland and from San Francisco, 282 miles from Eugene, 300 from Baker City, 190 from Medford. Campers just don't have to worry about the place booking up. Like hundreds of other high desert lakes, large and small in the area, Goose Lake drains nowhere. It's largely filled by rainwater, and the place gets about 10 inches a year, so it sits there, baking in the summer sun until all the water is evaporated away. It's basically Oregon's largest mud puddle. It may be America's largest mud puddle. The boat launch ramp at the park is something of a joke. Boaters basically have to carry their vessels to wherever the water happens to be on any given day, and it's almost never at the ramp. Goose Lake is also a magnificent place to go experience the great waterfowl migration. Mid-April is the time to do it. Goose Lake is on the flyway. Millions of geese, ducks, and other migratory birds blacken the sky there every spring and fall. For a high desert destination, the place is astonishingly green, perhaps thanks to the springs that help feed the lake. Recently, Goose Lake has been shrinking. The springs and creeks that help the rain feed it have been diverted for irrigation. Never particularly fresh to start with, the lake has been getting saltier, too, which is starting to stress the fish populations that somehow manage to still be there despite its periodic dryings up. In the surrounding countryside, you can still see the abandoned shells of sodbusters' cabins from the turn of the 20th century. These shells are the skeletal remains of settlers' dreams. Homes of folks who fell for land swindlers' claims that rain follows the plow, that once a fellow had gouged up the land and sprinkled some wheat grains on it, the skies would open up and the 20 inches or so of rain a year needed for dryland farming would appear. This worked about as well as you might expect it would. Today, you'll see very few farms in the high desert country, and those you'll see, well, they're irrigated. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening for the first time, here's a little more information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about, the ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. We've got all of those things. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since late 2008. So right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. So every weekday morning I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds. One in text and pictures for your newsreader, and one in audio only for your podcatcher or for iTunes. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone or iPhone use, but they work great on an iPad, tablet, netbook, computer, whatever you got. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.